Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the Donegal GAA Western range at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Well, it's a very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. It's just gone 7:05 on the programme tonight. We'll be taking a look at the standout ties in the Donegal Club Championship draws with former Dr. Maguire Cup winning player and manager Brendan Kilcoyne. There's also a preview of this weekend's All-Ireland Minor Football Final. We'll be hearing from the Oakleaf County of Derry as they take on Armagh in an All-Ulster decider on Saturday at Hayley Park in Omagh. We'll get the views off manager Damien McAuliffe and from their captain, John Sargent. But we are going to start with football, and it is of course a busy night on the League of Ireland front with a full programme of games to take place this evening in both the Premier Division and the First Division. In that First Division, Fin Harps of course are taking on Kerry FC tonight in Ballybuffet. The kick-off time to that clash is at 7:45. And we will have updates from that game here in Highland with Jim McDougherty and Keith Cowan. We'll actually be crossing for the first 15 minutes live at 7:45 on the programme tonight. Elsewhere in the First Division, the leaders Cork City are away to Wexford. UCD play Athlone Town. Treaty United take on Cove Ramblers. And Bray Wanderers are playing Longford Town. And in the top flight Premier Division, the leaders Shelburne, they make the short trip to Weavers Park to play Drogheda United tonight. Also, there's a big Northwest derby. Derry City are at the showgrounds in Sligo, taking on a Sligo Rovers. And in the other matches, defending champion Shamrock Rovers play Dundalk. That game is a later start of 8 o'clock. All the other matches are 7:45. And the other two games in the top flight, Galway United against Bohemians and Waterford are taking on St. Patrick's Athletic. But first of all on the show, let's focus very much on Fin Harps this week. Chris Ashmore has been speaking with former Fin Harps under 19 manager and former player Joe Boyle about this evening's games, where Harps, of course, are taking on Kerry. Plus, they discuss the League of Ireland structures, the forthcoming friendly between Sligo Rovers and Seamus Coleman's Everton, and the need for greater investment in sporting infrastructure. He began by putting it to Joe that Harps are facing a much improved Kerry side this evening, who will certainly not make it easy for Darren Murphy's team.
No, Kerry certainly have improved this season. No, they've taken the learning from last year, where they've had a couple of really, really difficult nights last year, but they're much, much improved this season. And when you go through and check and look at the results, you know, for the season, they certainly have stepped up and they've done really, really well. So tonight, it's going to be a difficult night for Harps, you know, coming off the Longford result last week. It's going to be important now because Kerry are sitting bottom, although they've improved. They are 12 points behind Harps going into tonight's match, and it's an important one for Harps. If we can get a positive result tonight and hope that Bray drops points against Longford, but you know, to stay in that playoff position or in round that playoff positions is really, really important. It's for Harps, it's a key game. And if you are looking to play and push in, no, there's only a small number of matches left in the season. It's really, really important now that Harps picks up all 3 points tonight.
Yeah, it looks as if, you know, things are beginning to sort of shake up. Fair to say, Joe, that Cork, a catastrophe of Himalayan proportions. I mean, they have the title pretty much wrapped up. I know there's still 14 games to go, but a 13-point margin ahead of UCD, it's hard to see anything else happening.
No, look, they've won 14 matches out of those 22, seven draws. They've only had one defeat. And when you look up and down the table, you know, you can't see many, many more defeats coming their way between now and the end of the season. And you would certainly put your money on them now that they would push on and win the league. And, you know, after the Kerry game, Harps have Cork in the league, and then the following week they have Cork in the Cup. So we're going to get a real close-up of what Cork are like in the next couple of weeks as well. And it's important that going into that league game and that Cup game now, that we get a positive result tonight against Kerry.
Now, at the end of the season, Joe, it'd be great if Harps got into the playoffs. I suppose that is the ambition. Fifth place will get you into those promotion playoffs, and then there'll be a couple of matches, and then you could end up against the team second bottom in the Premier Division. We don't know who that could be. It could be Dundalk, Bowes, even Sligo, who knows. But, you know, when you look at it from a Harps point of view, you want to play at the highest level, and yet we all know, you know, Harps wouldn't survive as they stand in the Premier Division. That they're not good enough. I mean, that gap, it really is, it's such a gulf.
It is. It's a big, big step there. When you look at the, you know, you look at Drogheda there, Dundalk, Bow, Sligo, St. Pat's, who are all in around that. But realistically, it's between, in my view, it's between Drogheda, Dundalk and Bowes. But I would think Bowes, you know, will probably have too much, and it's probably between the two County Louth teams that's going to be there. And again, between the, you look at those First Division teams that are in around that, there is a huge, huge gap budget-wise, but the standard of players as well and the standard of the matches. When you get to see those teams play on the telly, there is a huge, huge gap between the First Division and the and those teams in the bottom half of the Premier Division. It is a difficult route to get into the Premier Division, but it's probably the one that you would fancy most coming up through the playoffs, because you look at Cork, they've only lost one match this season, you know, 1-14-7, and so Harps are down with eight wins, seven draws and seven defeats. You know, to get in through the playoffs and come up that way is probably Harps' best route back into the Premier Division, whether it's this season or next season, but hopefully they'll be in the shake-up for the playoffs. And again, I think that bit of excitement and enthusiasm back into the club will be very, very important. After a poor season last season, I think Darren Murphy and the team will be very, very happy in relation to getting into those playoff positions. How they do in the playoffs, well, that's anyone's guess at the minute, but the most important thing is to try and secure one of those playoff positions and try and work your way into that playoff for the team from the bottom of the Premier Division.
Yeah, and important for Harps, you know, to be seen to be progressing, that the team is getting better. And there's a lot of good young players coming through, and we're well aware that Darren Murphy is certainly pleased with things in that aspect.
Yeah, there is lots of good young players, and you know, you see there where Harps haven't been afraid to throw them in. Their squad isn't the deepest, and they've allowed the players to go in. And when you look at young Gavin McAteer now, he's getting minutes in a couple of the matches, and you know, he made a very positive impact down in Longford the last night when he came in, where he had two or three passes, where he set up other players and that. So, you know, you look at that, and you know, it's a big disappointment that Sean O'Donnell has gone to America, because he was really starting to find his feet and push on. So it's important that those young lads keep coming through. But Sean leaving now opens up the door for Max Johnson to come in there and try and do something, for Mark and Booley to come in there and try and do something as well. So, you know, it's a great opportunity for those young lads to come in off the bench and try and make an impact. And again, I think they have used them well, where they've played them for 60, 65 minutes, and they've not overtaxed them and freshened them up then. So again, it's a great opportunity for those young lads. And to be in around that, those playoff positions, is great experience for young lads of 17, 18, 19 years of age to be coming out at the end of the season with anything from 10 to 20 to 30 matches behind them. All goes well for those young lads next season.
Just wondering, Joe, what your feeling is on the actual structure of the League of Ireland at the moment. A 10-team Premier Division, it's not that long ago there were 12 teams, and when you only have 10 teams, the likes of Sligo Rovers, you know, you can be under pressure from pretty much early on in the season. Bows and Pats, managers have come and gone early in the season. With just 10 teams and potentially two going down, it's one of the toughest leagues to survive in Europe, I would suggest, in the top flight.
Yeah, it is. And for me, there needs to be more of the provincial teams. And that's why it's important that Cork get back in there. And that's why it was important when Harps were there, and for those years that they were there under Ollie, that they stayed in the Premier Division, to keep that rural or that western or divide, rather than just being a solely Dublin league. Because if you look at it, like for the teams from Dublin, you have a derby nearly every single week. You know, yes, Derry are there, Waterford are there, Galway are there, and Sligo are there. But adding in another team or two would be really, really important. And it's tough for the teams to keep coming back with those teams every couple of weeks, because you need, the more often you play, then the harder it is to get victories, because it's easy for teams to learn from the previous match, which is only 9 games away when you come back to play them again. So it is very, very difficult, and would be great to see that there be an extra team or two back up to 12 in the Premier Division, and bring in one or two teams into that First Division where they could play. But again, you look at Harps travel, and we've seen this over the last couple of weeks where they're at home this week to Kerry. So Kerry are travelling all the way to Balbriffe. Next week, Hearts go to Cork. Then they're back in Cork for the Cup again. Then they're back in Limerick. And then they've got a home match against Bray. But, you know, that's really, really demanding on players and really demanding on a squad as well. When you think about it, when you play in Cork and you've got a six-hour journey back on a Friday night from Cork, when you're leaving there at 6:30 at night, that's really, really taxing and demanding on players there to have to do that every second week. So, you know, it's something that the league needs to look at. I know they're talking about doing it in the development plan, and it's something that I would be really, really for to try and make sure that there was a wider spread across the divisions from all over the country, and that it's not solely based in Munster for the likes of Hearts now in the First Division.
And I think fair to say, Joe, that quite a lot of fans of the league, one area they wouldn't be too happy with, you know, playing somebody four times in the one season, maybe a bigger league with less matches and bring back the League Cup. I mean, there must be other avenues we can look at.
Yeah, and again, you know, when you look at now next week in the Premier Division, when Derry play in the league, and then there's no game at all for the rest of that month in the league. You know, they have the FAI Cup, they've got the European matches, and again, you know, it really is condensed in there. When you look at it again for the likes of a squad like Hearts, where they have to play Friday and Monday, that's really, really demanding when you've got that travel in there as well. And the other thing is, when you've got such a small squad for part-time players to have to recover from a game on a Friday, to have to go again on a Monday and then go again on a Friday, and there's those three games they're going to have to travel for at least one, if not two, of those games, depending on the draw of the matches. And that's something that's really, really challenging for the players. And for the likes of Derry now going into Europe, that makes it even more difficult for them. I know they're playing a team from Gibraltar in the first round, but, you know, away, travel away to Gibraltar, then play at home, and then have to go again the following week in Europe, it's going to test the likes of Derry and Shelburne, who are new to this, and it's going to be really, really difficult for them.
Yeah, so just to list out the other games this evening, it's Finharps and Kerry, Bray meet Longford, Treaty against Cove, UCD against Athlone and Wexford, and Cork in the First Division. In the Premier, Shelburne are away to Drogheda United, Galway United at home to Bowes, Waterford and St Pat's, Shamrock Rovers, the champions, against Dundalk, and Sligo taking on Derry City. The general consensus, Joe, after last weekend is, with Shelburne winning again and Shamrock Rovers losing out to Sligo Rovers, that Rovers have perhaps blown it. Is it too big a gap to close at this stage?
Oh, 12 points, you know, you can't see them closing that down. You know, to think that the Shamrock Rovers have lost 7 matches this season would have been unheard of. I know they've got a game in hand on Shelburne, which could bring it back a little bit. They've got 2 games in hand on Derry. But you know, that's a huge, huge demand. So, you know, you expect Shelburne to drop 10 points to Shamrock Rovers. Unless they really, really find Europe difficult and struggle with that, I can't see that happening. To me, it's a 2-horse race at the minute between Derry and Shelburne. And, you know, as you'd be thinking, Damien Duff is certainly rubbing his hands, thinking he's got a league title coming. But Rory Higgins will probably be thinking the same in Derry. And, you know, Derry have brought in where they've lost McJanet this week, but they've brought in Davenport this week, and again they've strengthened, and I would imagine Derry will probably look to bring in maybe one or two more after the loss of Patrick McElhenney, just to make sure that they're right in the hunt for the league title.
Yeah, and interesting to note this week, Sligo Rovers have announced that Everton are coming over for a pre-season friendly, so that's a great boost for the Bitter Red, and one suspects Seamus Coleman will be there and hopefully lining out. And you know, what a great example he's been to everybody. And for Sligo, this is going to be a big moment.
Yeah, and I think that the model that Sligo have there, where they're bringing in their own young lads, they're offering one or two young lads contracts this week as well, and trying to bring them in there and build on it. And again, to show what can happen with the likes of Shamie and with James McLean at Derry as well, where they come in, they get experience at a young age in the league, and then they move on to clubs in England. This is certainly the way to go forward, and a model that a lot of clubs in Ireland should be doing. I think that the showgrounds will be packed for that, even just to show respect to Shamie and our international captain, to think that he's come from St Catharines through Sligo into Everton. He's there, their longest serving player, and you know, he's a credit to himself and to the league and to everybody that's been associated with Shamie.
Yeah. And finally, Joe, just before we came on air, we were talking about the European Championships in brief, and We mentioned the likes of Switzerland and Austria who have done so well. And you were making the point that, you know, a lot of these countries, there's huge investment going on in into the infrastructure in the game. And really, we're miles behind in this regard.
Yeah, we are. You know, Finn Harps is a prime example of that, and Bowes is another one. You know, the League of Ireland attendance this season has been up by huge numbers, and I think there's a great interest in that. And when you look at it, and we've just been talking about having more teams in the league, you know, there is a huge appetite there for them. If the stadiums are good, the product is good, and the matches are good, people will come and watch them. And I think it's something that they've certainly got to be. The FAI, I know, had an ambitious plan of where they were looking for loads of money and that, but they really have got to. The government have got to look at this, because you look at what Lagan have done with their pitch, and they opened their pitch this weekend. They was out on Friday night. You know, it's a top quality playing surface, probably as good as any surfaces in the European Championships this week. But the structure and the facilities around that and around all of our clubs in Ireland, and I'm talking about all our sports across Ireland, we certainly need to look at that and try and do something to improve that. Because, you know, our playing population has increased twofold. Every girl in the country now is playing as well as every boy. There's never been more matches. There's never been more people looking to play our games, regardless of what the code is. And the government have got to come in and they've got to start putting money into this, because the more people we have playing our games, then the less people we will have sickness or illness or anything else like that. There may be an odd broken bone or something from a tackle, but the well-being of the nation will be so much better if they would invest in our sporting facilities.
There you go. That's the thoughts of Joe Boyle, a former Finn Harps player and under-19 manager there, speaking, of course, with Chris Ashmore this week ahead of the Harps game, which starts tonight at 7:45, and we'll be crossing over to Finn Park to join Jeremy Doherty and Keith Cowan at the park round about 20 to 8 or thereabouts tonight, if we manage to get through the rest of the other material that's on the Score programme tonight as well. Coming up, Brendan Kilcoyne will be looking at the Donegal Club Championship standout fixtures after the draw was made last night. On the pitch this weekend, on Saturday, there's a big game for the Donegal ladies. They are taking on Kildare in the All-Ireland Football Championship relegation semi-final. Now, the game's at a neutral venue. Breffni Park in Cavan is the venue. It throws in at 2 o'clock on Saturday. We'll have updates here on Highland from that game with Dara Boner of the Donegal News. A win for Donegal and they will be safe in a senior football. However, if they suffer defeat, they will be going into a relegation final against the losers of Laois and Tipperary. Well, this Sunday, Derry will look to defend their All-Ireland Minor Football title when they face off with Armagh in this year's decider at Healy Park in Omagh. For the second year in a row, it's an All-Ulster affair again. Derry overcame Monaghan in the 2023 decider and will hope for a similar result this weekend when they take on an Armagh side for the third time this season. En route to the final, Derry beat Kerry and Armagh overcame Mayo ahead of another huge game for Derry. Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life has caught up with Derry captain James Sargent, but first he spoke with manager Damien McAuleen.
Damien, another All-Ireland final to look forward to. Nice place to be, I'm sure. The last time we spoke, you just saw off Kerry and were planning to have a look at the other side of the draw. So a few days later, how are things? How's the mood in the camp?
Yeah, well, I suppose we're back on home bag tonight, so I haven't met the lads, like, but look, it's good to get over. We knew it was going to be a massive challenge on Saturday. That's how it turned out to be. We performed really well. Saw the match out when it come to the crunch at the end. I'm very pleased with the performance overall, you know. Maybe left a few goal chances behind us, maybe to give us some sort of comfort in the game at all, but given the quality that Kerry brought to the thing and how well we played, I was happy enough in terms of just getting over the line, because that's really all we're thinking about going into it.
I just saw the Tyrone game over the stream. I was away that day, but there was that one where you were in a hole. The Armagh one, they got a goal and you were sort of hanging on there as well. The Dublin game, obviously well documented how deep you needed to dig. And then obviously at the weekend, how valuable is that? Is that worth any amount of training sessions in terms of getting messages to the lads about what's sort of required? Because it's tough. They're tough championship days.
We basically have a tough championship days right from Tyrone, Armagh, Dublin. And then Kerry again, you know, and there's learnings in them all. Some of them we addressed before the matches, and they still get to happen. So, you know, even at this level and minor level, you always feel that the lads don't believe anything until they sort of see it happening for themselves. And they're easier coached when they've come out of tough tests and seen how things went either well or not so well. So, no, it helps us. There's no doubt it helps sort of brush up on things once you see things happening in games. You're fit to do the video work and point it out to the lads and whatnot. And it's a very competitive squad as well. Like, so, you know, there's been flux and whatnot in terms of movement in and out of the team and all that. Just lads really performing well and getting the jersey and keeping it and stuff. So, tough matches and winning them are the best way of going into anything, you know.
You were in Longford, you saw Armagh versus Mayo, but is playing them three times in the 1 year, it's a bit like last year with Monaghan, I suppose, Damien, but is that an advantage or is it a disadvantage and they see what you do or same for both teams? It's quite unique, I suppose.
Look, at this stage, it's the same for both teams. You know, we'll probably do our homework on each other coming into the group stage championship match, so you got the familiarity there, then we played, you learn more. Then for the Ulster final, obviously, both teams will add it again in terms of that. Armagh obviously took a lot out of the group stage championship match and closed the gap to more realistic competitive match. Like, I mean, the whole match here was a total sort of misnomer, really, in the sense that, you know, it was very, very tight the whole way through, to be honest with you, and then we probably scored about 8 points just at the end when the game itself had died and all that sort of thing. So, you know, the Ulster final is the best barometer for where the teams are at and how tight the game's going to be for us.
And finally, getting that message across to your boys over the next few days, like this evening, as you're training, and then the next few days, is that the most important thing ahead of this final, just getting those messages across to the lads who have to do the business?
Aye, look, and it'll be 4 or 5 sessions now, it is a piece of getting that to them. But again, as I said, I alluded to earlier, the boys are smart players. They understand how tight it was, how every ball was fought for. They'll remember how tough the Ulster final was. They'll remember
how much they had to hang on at the end.
How much they had to hang on at the end and stuff like that. So they'll remember all that. And from a sort of mentality point of view and mindset point of view, I have no qualms about how they'll be thinking about this coming down the line.
And what are you noticing about the minor run this year? Like, yous are all Ireland champions, you know, and that can never be taken away, and yous are going challenging to go again. But are you noticing the same level of interest, a bigger level of interest, you know, since even 2015, since you hear the first time, just among people in the county? Like, is that feeling there for progress, I suppose, is my point of what way underage is going in the big picture?
Okay, there's a good buzz about it. It's great for the lads to experience all that. Pity they're not playing in front of the seniors or before the seniors and stuff like that. Sort of generates a wee bit more familiarity and buzz to the thing. But
is that something they talk about much?
No, it's never mentioned. From that point of view, they don't have time to talk about it. You know what I mean? It's just
I get it all the time. People saying to you, it should be in front of it should be in front of the seniors. It should be in Croke Park. I'm just wondering, is it something you feel the lads would be frustrated with, or they just keep their heads down and play?
No, they're just keeping their heads down and play. They're loving playing for Derry. They are big games. I say nobody approaches it any different, quite honestly. It literally is just the same feeling going out, the same nerves, the same adrenaline, the same approach, the same setup. It's just that extra piece, you know. But we've one more massive test here to come down the line at us, and a team that has improved every match in the championship, basically right from the even from the first league match, I would say, and they're very, very united outfit, good quality side, and brilliantly managed, you know, and sensibly managed. Like, so there's no hiding the challenges there is ahead, you know.
So, James, I suppose you're on the cusp of an All-Ireland final. What's the mood among the gang?
I suppose we're all just motivated to go that one step further. Like, some of the boys coming in this year, they all looked and probably thought of it last year, and I wish it could be them. Like, so it's good to get back there, and it doesn't come around often. We're just lucky to we're lucky to be there, and it's something you're gonna remember for the rest of your life. Like, so it's just, we have to go that one step further and make it special.
And even strip it back to a more general point, what's it sort of like to be playing for Derry at the moment? Because obviously the senior team are in Ulster finals and they won the league and had a big win over Mayo. And but to go back down a few levels, what's it like for somebody like yourself who's pulling on that jersey?
It's always special to put on the jersey. Like, it doesn't matter how the county's doing. I suppose, well, it does, but it's just that much better when the county is doing well. To put on your county jersey, no matter what, it's always going to feel special. Like, you grow up from five up, whatever, just dreaming of playing to your county, and when you're finally there, it's a privilege to play. Like,
when did you sort of start thinking, God, this GA thing could be really something for me here?
Probably wasn't there, to be honest. It was, I mind seeing Dublin Kerry down at Croke Park,
mm-hmm.
and the Cluxton Point to win it. That was probably my first memory of GA. Like, and
I suppose that ties in with Derry are now at that stage now where they're starting to be in those stages. I suppose that's my point.
And you just hear the roar of the Dublin crowd and that went over, like, and you're just like, I want that to be me someday. Mm-hmm. And in the crowd that time, I think it was 4 or 5 maybe, yeah. I don't know. But it was just the whole atmosphere of the thing has just inspired me to become motivated and play for the county and hope that can be me someday.
And I know I asked you this question on Saturday, but it was maybe a few minutes after the game and you're thinking maybe about the game, but like the group itself, like, there's 8 of you are here for a second year, so what's it like? Because I'm sure you are having a ball as players. Is it just, is there just loving life, I suppose?
Well, it's not just so much us 8, like, it's the whole 33, 34 of us in the panel. It's like last year's almost forgotten about as a panel. Like, you obviously have that, like, but it's about what's next to come, and you're always looking at the next game, and you never really think about it. But I suppose sometimes you have to take a step back and realise what you've done. But it's more just the excitement and mood around the whole panel rather than us 8.
And it's Armagh again, and I was just talking to Damien before you came up the stairs. And is that a good thing? Is that a difficult thing? Because you probably know each other inside out at this stage is maybe fair enough, is it?
Well, we do, but look, you take whoever you get in the Armagh final, and look, it's a pleasure to play in the Armagh final. You take whoever you get, and however well we know them, we'll go from there, like, and that'll be it.
And did you watch the game at the weekend, or will you just wait to Owen and Anton and them produce a few clips for you? Do you tend to watch the other teams much?
I tend to watch it myself and see where I could sort of exploit the other team, but they'll obviously have their things they want us to do or how we're going to set up, whatever, but I'd watch it for myself, see how they play, see how they set up, and see what I can do on a personal level, like.
And my final point here, because I know you have to get to training, but and training's far more important than talking about the game. It'll get you further, but looking forward to it. Is it nerves? Is it excitement? Is it a mixture of both, or is it just, as you say, you're pulling on this Derry jersey? It's something to really embrace. A final.
Yeah, something to really embrace. Like, I'm personally really excited, but I know the other boy's gonna be nervous. Like, but that's natural. Like, not really want to get nervous. I'm more just excited. Can't wait to get out there. And every day towards it, the hype sort of just builds up, and you just can't wait to get out there next Sunday. So
that is the Derry Minor football captain, James Sargent. Before that, Damien Macker, Leon Derry looking to defend their title, make it back-to-back All-Ireland titles this coming weekend, and we wish them all the best in that final on Sunday at Hayley Park in Omagh against Armagh. We're going for a break, and we'll be sticking with Gaelic Games and the Donegal Club Championships after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. From rebounders to goalposts, find everything you need to play your best at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to the Score programme. We stay with Gaelic Games, and last night the Donegal Club Championship draws were made at senior, intermediate and junior. And if we were to look at each of the games that came out in the draws in each of the groups, we'd be here to about 12 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. So we're just going to pick out some of the games from the earlier rounds, and joining me in studio is a man that knows a thing or two about winning a club championship title in Donegal as a player and a manager. That's Brendan Kilcoyne of St Union's. Brendan, you're welcome to the studio.
Thanks, Ashin. Good evening to you.
And I suppose, Brendan, we'll start with your own club. I said to a St Union's member today, a tough start for you is Kilcare and Niamh Connell, and his reaction was, bring it on. And I suppose if you're going to win a championship, it's all about winning the sides around you, and St Union's are going to get under the thick of it really, really early.
They are, yeah, just the way the draws panned out, you know, home to Kilcare first game, away to Niamh Connell, which, as it turns out, was the same fixture as last year away to Niamh Connell. We were down covering that game, Oisín. It was, Unions were brilliant first half, really played well. Niamh Connell came back for a draw in the second half, but, you know, it is a tough draw for Unions. There's no getting away from that. They're going to have to, you know, pull something from one of them two games going into the second, the third and fourth games, because there's still a couple of teams in that group that they could pick up a Glen Swilly or a Gidor or something like that. So it is heavily loaded in Group B, where there seems to be a lot of the strong teams. But listen, it's a big challenge for Unions. Unions, I think, you know, will have a lot to answer for coming back from last year after losing a semi-final to Niamh Connell, who, you know, their record in championship has been phenomenal for the last number of years. They've won four of the last five finals. They've just set an unprecedented standard at that level, so they have, and there's no sign of them going away anywhere soon, so there is no issue.
And rightly so, favourites for this time around again.
Absolutely, they're going to go in and deservedly as favourites. They're favourites for a reason, and, you know, I think they have most of the team that they had last year. Most of the players seem to be around. I think Ethan O'Donnell has gone travelling. But to counteract that, then they've this young Finbar Rorty lad that'll come into the team, and Mark McDevitt is back now after his injury. Big John Francis Boyle is getting game time. Tiernan Ward has come through from the 20s or from the minors. Seems to be playing well for them. So they've a lot of talent, so they have, and they've huge experience in that group, and they know how to win championships, and they've proven that over the last number of years. So the question is down to teams like St Union's and the rest of the teams in the senior championship to come up with something that'll beat that, Oisín.
Yeah, but the fact of it is too, as well, the sheer influx of players that have to come back to both of those clubs when county football is done, and St Union's and Niamh Connell.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, both of them have a lot of players involved with the county team. And, you know, I suppose with my St Union's hat on, I'd be very pleased with the form of St Union's players within the county, within Jim's county setup. You know, obviously Sean Patton and Kieran Moore is having a phenomenal year, but Niall and Shane O'Donnell are playing really, really well this year, so they are. And, you know, that augurs well for St Union's going forward. And, you know, if you tie them in with the likes of young Conor O'Donnell, Owen McGeehan, these type of players, they've plenty of scoring power, so they have. But it's just finding a method or finding a way, because what they've been doing up to now over the last number of years haven't worked. So they need to change something. They need to become more expansive in the way they play. And I would expect to see a bit of that from them in the championship, because, you know, Niamh Connell are the masters at playing the type of game that they play, and they've proven that over the last number of years. They've proved very hard to break down, and no team has really caught them out. Only St Union's, obviously, back in, was it 2021 when they did win that championship kind of thing. So, you know, the challenge is there to them, and it's there to other teams too. You have to look at the progress some other teams have made too this year, Oisín. You know, the likes of McCools are going well in the league. They've put up some good results again. They're emerging some really good young talent, the likes of Conor McGinty, Sean Martin, Kevin McCormick, Sean McMenum, these type of players that have come in to supplement. And you throw that in with Oisín Gallan. We saw him in the quarterfinal last year, Oisín. I think he kicked 1-9 against Glen Swilly, kicked 10 points in the semi-final.
And he was player of the championship.
So when you merge them players in, now listen, they're very young at this stage, so they are. Are they ready to make that next step? But that's the direction they're going. And, you know, I think Glen Swilly will have something to say this year too. You know, again, they're introducing the likes of Donald Gallagher, Dahi Gilday, these type of players, Owen Scott, that are really good young players, and that will refresh and refurbish that Glen Swilly team and add a bit of impetus to them. So,
and their opening match against St Noel's could be a tasty one.
Very tasty one. I was looking at that draw, like, and it really looks like a game. You know, you see the form that Padraig Morgan is in. You know, Brendan McCall, Brendan McCall goes very much under the carpet. He's doing a fantastic job at fullback, so he is, for that Donegal team. He's probably the only natural man marking defender that Donegal has. He doesn't get the plaudits maybe that's out there that some of the players are getting at the moment, but he's having a fantastic season in my book.
Yeah, sure. What about Gidor, beaten finalists last year? They're going to start the campaign away to Four Masters, who have won a Division 2, and they're home to Glenfinn as well. So can Gidor go one further than last year?
Gidor, a team I would always be reluctant to write off. I've been burnt a couple of times by them myself in the past, so I would never write them off. That said, you know, this great word, transition. They're in a transition period whereby, you know, Orr McNeillis, I think, is travelling away. He's in Australia. Are Eamon and Neil McGee going to play another year? So they've been the mainstay of that team for a long number of years. That said, they have, again, there's some really good young talent coming through, so they have, and from the last few minor teams and under-20s, so they're probably a new team. Are they good enough to go the whole way? That remains to be unanswered. That remains to be answered, Oisín. They certainly have a lot of talent. The fact that they were there, that they got to a final last year, will stand to them, and they seem to be tipping along nicely this year too with some really good results, eye-catching results, but big question for them. Can they go that bit further, you know?
Yeah. Downing's are the new boys into the senior ranks. It's been a very long time since they played senior football. And obviously, once you go up, you would be one of the favourites to maybe make the drop back down again. The start for them, Aru and Ballyshannon, and then they've got four Masters at home, taking on a four Masters team that there would be a lot expected of them this year as well, Brendan.
Yeah, and again, you know, Downing's have done really well. You know, Maxi Curran has gone in there this year, obviously really professionally set up, and they're really well set up. Some really good talent, you know, the likes of Patrick McElty, the McGrady's D-type of player, so they have loads of scoring power. Now, Lorcan Connor is away, I think, and he's obviously going to be a huge loss to them. They had a brilliant run in Ulster last year, so they had that, which ended unfortunately for them. But they've done well in senior, they've proved themselves up there, so they have. But the big questions now about them, you know, going in against an Aruish side, they probably haven't delivered what was expected of them this year so far in the league. But, you know, league and championship, as we know, are two different ball games completely. So it'll be a big test for Downing's going down there. I think they met early in the league, so they did, and Downing's came away with the points in that league game in a really good, tight game. And then four Masters, you know, we know the talent that they're producing and the dominance they've nearly had at underage level with the brilliant minor teams, and I know I've been involved with a few of them. There's some really, really good talent coming through. But are they ready to compete at senior level yet?
Does it take a few years for that to settle in, Brendan?
I think it definitely does, Oisín. I think it takes a few years for these lads to step on to realise what's required. And particularly, you know, the see a different scenario coming out of playing league. I know that they've been promoted from Division 2, that I think they've guaranteed promotion to Division 1 of the league next year. But the difference between league and championship will really stand out to them, and that'll be a learning for these lads too, so it will, you know. But there's no doubt in the amount of work that has been done in four Masters to get them the success they've got at underage level, and they'll be looking for that transition to success at senior level over the next number of years.
Yeah, all the draws are available in the sports section of our website, HeiningRadio.com. All the fixtures that came out of the draws last night, we can't go through them all, but I suppose the Intermediate Championship, Brendan, just briefly, Terman, Leave Columba, Mallon, Bundoran, Milford, Fanad Gaels, Buncrana, all in with a shout this year and are all playing each other in the group stage.
Yeah, and it's a really, again, a really exciting looking championship with a lot of really good teams in it. We've spoke about Downing's winning it last year, beating Mallon in the final, you know, in a really tight game. If the likes of Buncrana, who I fancy this year, I think they've a lot of really good players, so they have. And, you know, you get Keelan McGonigal back into that team, and he'll really, like, he's playing such a role again for Donegal this year. He's going to be instrumental in how they progress. You've Milford too, you know, tipping along nicely, getting some wins and going rightly, so they have some good players. Mallon will really be determined to come back. And then Terman, you know, expectations are on Terman too. Really young side, so they have. And, you know, probably haven't had the best league campaign that they would have expected, but will be looking to deliver in championship. And I'm not sure who have they got. Oh, they've a real tough opener, actually,
yeah,
haven't
first
they?
First two games, Neave Columba and Mallon.
Neave Columba and Mallon are two big, big games for them. So they'll be quite, you know, they're home to Neave Columba the first day and away to Mallon. Any day you're going away to Mallon, it's tough to get. So it'll be really important that they get points the first day out against Neave Columba. And it's like any championship, Oisín. You go into it, you get a victory or two early on, it sets the precedent for you, gives you a bit of confidence, and suddenly you have a bit, you can gain a bit of momentum. And we saw how that developed with Donegal this year, and the way and the impetus they've got from that.
Okay, Brendan, thanks for coming in. We're going to have to leave it there because we have to go to the football in Finn Park. Thanks for joining us.
Lovely, yeah, and best of luck to Finn Harps too.
Yeah, okay, good man. Brendan Kilcoyne.
Coverage of Finn Harps on Highland in association with BNS Credit Union Ballybuffet, where their special car loan rate is now on offer. Own your own car from the start with a fast, flexible and affordable loan from BNS Credit Union. Visit bnscu.ie or free phone 1800 290 390. BNS Credit Union Limited is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Okay then, so for the final 13 minutes of the Score programme tonight, we're going to nip over to Finn Park. The First Division action has just started at Harps against Kerry FC. And on duty tonight for Highland Radio Sport is Keith Cowan, but first of all, Jeremy Doherty.
Thank you very much, Oisin. Welcome along to Finn Park in Balbuffet. Thursday night action in the League of Ireland. That's because of the Euros, of course, to reach the quarterfinal stages of that. And it's a busy programme of fixtures in the League of Ireland tonight, as you've already alluded to earlier on in the programme with the preview with Chris Ashmore. But Harps against Kerry is the one that we're focusing on tonight. They're up and running here, Oisin. Not that long. They're just a minute and 40 seconds. And it's interesting because Kerry want to throw in the very, very early stages of this game. They've won their second throw in. It's a long throw in delivered into the box. Harps didn't really deal with the first one too well. And they're struggling to cope here because, well, thanks to the intervention of young Gavin McAteer, who's in for his first senior start. More about that in a second or two. He managed to get in the way there of a Kerry attacking situation, and Harps are able to clear their lines. Keith Cowan, as you say, joins me in the commentary area tonight here in Balbuffet. Not a great crowd, but not bad either. It's a pleasant evening at Finn Park. Into the second minute, Harps have a free kick, by the way, midway inside the Kerry half. Keith, it's interesting because once again, the Finn Harps manager, Darren Murphy, has made a few changes. Among them, Gavin McAteer included tonight for the first time from the start.
Yeah, we spoke to Murph there just before kickoff, and you know he describes young McAteer as something special. We've seen glimpses of him in a few games earlier in the season, and he's definitely a player that makes things happen. So hopefully, look, he's obviously great confidence from the coaching staff, like we mentioned there. So hopefully, he can show us tonight why Murph and the coaching staff has such faith in him.
And it's interesting as well that Harps have also given a first start, a debut to the new signing, Sean Patton. And Kevin Jordan is in tonight as well. First appearance of this season for him. He has been really troubled by injury. He's playing at left back, and that's good to see the return of Kevin Jordan. And indeed, Conor Turish back on the bench for Harps tonight as well after injury. There's a stoppage in play because there's a free kick given to Harps for a foul on Big Success Edekin, but it looks like the Kerry man who was the guilty party in that perhaps came off worse, and he's going to need a wee bit of treatment. So very, very quickly we'll run through the Harps team. Tim Oliver Heimer in goal. It's a back four of Jamie Watson at right back, Kevin Jordan left back, and Noah Baba and Matty Makinson in the middle of that defence. Then you have Gavin McAteer, Tony McNamee, Ryan Rainey perhaps in a three-man midfield, although that could well change because Success Edekin, I have him down here in my notes playing wide on the right, but you could see him drifting into the middle as well. Sean Patton and Patrick Ferry, that's the starting 11. Noah Baba takes that resultant free. It's up into the feet of Edekin, who does well to hold off his man. He's got past his man now, so can he win himself a corner? No, he doesn't, because it's a good piece of defending by the Kerry defender. But Harps still in possession until Jamie Watson decides just to give a loose pass, and Kerry are able to retrieve the ball. So it's been an interesting opening, this Kerry team coming to Balbuffet on the back of a decent run of results. They've won three of their last six games. That's a very much improved form. They've beaten Longford, they've beaten Treaty, and they've beaten Harps among those matches. And in contrast, Harps have only picked up one win in seven. That was against Wexford back in May. And the third meeting of these sides, Kerry winning the meeting down in Kerry back in May by 2-0, and here in Balbuffet, a 0-0 draw back in March. And Keith, we were chatting off air as well about the difficulties and the troubles that Harps have had any time they've come up against this Kerry side.
Yeah, they are. They're a sticky outfit. You know, obviously we played them a couple of times last season, and I was impressed with, you know, the doggedness of them. You know, they've got a great shape about them. They don't make mistakes. They, you know, they've come here. Look, they've obviously set up, you know, to obviously defend, to go long. You know, Big Keller playing up front too, I was very impressed with last year. See him on the ball here now, trying to create an opening there. And you know, they chase, they work hard, and you know what, they really sort of stick to their guns, and they are a difficult team to beat. You know, you see the way that some sides, you know, do become a banana skin side for teams, and this Kerry team does seem to be so for Harps. They're a team that Harps are supposed to come out and beat comfortably, I suppose, but never seems to be the case with them.
Yeah, and while Kelleher will carry a threat up top for Kerry, for Harps, they have included young Sean Patton in from the start tonight. He's wearing the number 10 jersey, Keith. Obviously, Darren Murphy placing a bit of faith in him. Remember, he played for Derry City against Harps in a pre-season friendly. Actually came off the bench and scored. But, you know, Murphy will be well aware of the talents that he possesses. And he has given him his chance tonight.
Well, definitely, I'm sure he's only just, I'm sure, had a few training sessions with Harps. Obviously, involved with the Derry squad and would be with them on a full-time basis, I'm sure. the coaching staff, Murph and Kevin and that, are obviously happy with what they've seen this season. And, you know, great to see him just being thrown in there and given his chance. Look, they all had to start somewhere. So, you know, it's great to see him, Alexi Young-McAteer, being thrown in. And, you know, hopefully they can flourish.
Tony McNamee does well to win possession back, releases success, Edigan in the right-hand channel. Not a bad ball from Edigan, but it was cut out by defender only, though, that the ball goes back to Edigan, and he has won the first corner of the evening. Harps attacking the River End goals here at Finn Park. By the way, the match referee tonight is Glenn Geraghty, and he just takes his place beside the penalty spot, just making sure everything's okay in front of him, as Young McAteer goes over to take this set piece. He actually, if you remember, or listeners may remember, McAteer coming on here against Athlone Town about a month ago on a night when Athlone looked to be all set for victory, until McAteer came off the bench, got himself involved, set up the equalising goal, and Hearts picked up what was a very welcome one-all draw that night. The referee just suggested that he was happy with what was in front of him, and he's just told McAteer to hold up because he wants to have a word with two players, one of whom is Tony McNamee, who's making his presence felt in and around the goalkeeper area. But I know the referee says get on with it. So here comes McAteer's delivery. It's deep towards the back post, and well, it's headed clear, but only as far as Noah Baba. There's appeals for perhaps a handball. Now, that would have been outside the box, not inside the box, but still Harps retain possession. Here's McAteer on his left foot, just slips a pass through to Jimmy Watson. Now, what can he do with it? Watson is closed down by defender, does well, comes in on his weaker left foot, but still manages to get a good cross in, although Kerry should be able to take this one clear. Kerry, as I say, going well, although they're still down the wrong end of the table. They're second from bottom in the first division, but no doubt about it, Keith, they are learning their way as they go along, and they're certainly making more of a mark this season.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, the first season in the league last year was always going to be difficult for them and find their feet. But, you know, even we spoke about it just before the game as well. They haven't taken, you know, they haven't taken many hammering. You know, they're not a team that you would say are just going to be the whipping boys. They stand up every week. They put in sound performances, and they seem to have carried out that on this season, and they're now starting to win games. Like, we can see from the quality that they have. We spoke about Keller. Young Tehan, number 8, in the middle of the field there as well, really impressed me last year. Just about his, you know, the way that he went about the game. You know, he was able to break play up. He was able to win free kicks. You know, he had that craft, and he's only 19 years of age. So, you know, especially when you're going to an away ground, you're going to Finn Park, you know, Harps going well, you know, well up the table, fourth position or fifth position, and you know, they'll be funny pushing off, or sort of pushing into those playoffs places. You know, somebody like him who can slow the game down, break things up, win free kicks for his side, and sort of as they're looking to set up now, they'll go direct into the box again and try and give Harps a problem.
Yeah, and he is the very player that found himself in possession around about 25 yards from goal there, and unleashed one with his left foot. It was straight down the middle, straight into the arms of the Harps goalkeeper, Tim Oliver Heimer. But that was the first effort on goal for Kerry, and it came from that midfielder team. Well, the ball is drifting out over on the far side for a throw into Harps in their left back area. So that gives me a chance to let you know what's happening elsewhere tonight in the Premier Division. Of course, we're keeping an eye on Sligo and Derry City at the Showgrounds. No goals there, but there has been a goal down at Eamon DC Park. That's the home of Galway United, where it's Galway United 0, Bowes 1. And in the first division, we've had the first goal of the evening as well, as come at Ferry Carrick Park, where it's Wexford FC 1, the leaders Cork City 0. So the leaders behind early on, as Tony McNamee comes across halfway. Edigan providing an outlet on the right hand side, tried to sneak one in towards Patton, but they managed to hold on to the ball. But Harps are, they're having to work hard any time they are coming up around the edge of the Kerry FC penalty area, Keith, and it's been so far so good for the visiting defence.
Yeah, they've been holding strong. They just conceded a throw in. Obviously, can be almost like a corner for Tony McNamee here as he sets up to launch one. They've got all the big men forward. Maxson's up. Obviously, you have success in there. Noah Baba's in there to try and get his head on it as well. So, you know, like, this will be, they'll obviously have talked about this during the week, try to work on defending it, but, you know, it's a difficult thing to try and do.
Yeah, and Harps, well, they almost managed to set themselves up for an effort on goal. That throw-in from McNamee was initially defended well, but then the ball went loose until another Kerry defender managed to clear it. I think it might have been Ethan Coa, who was the man that got the final clearances all the way back with the Harps goalkeeper, Tim Oliver Heimer. He looks out ahead of him as we enter the 12th minute here at Finn Park, where it remains Harps 0, Kerry FC 0. A very even game so far between two sides who have well, found it difficult to pick up victories against each other over this season and last season. Harps haven't scored against Kerry yet this year. They drew 0-0 here in Balbuffet back in March, and Kerry winning 2-0 in the return fixture down there back in May. So this is the third meeting of the sides, and Tony McNamee comes short for this corner kick on this near side. He's very fortunate, McNamee, because his pass does eventually reach Jamie Watson, but not for the first time in these opening stages. Watson's delivery just lets him down, and he'll just trot back into the right back area, and it'll be a goal kick for Kerry and their goalkeeper Aaron O'Sullivan. And by the way, their substitute goalkeeper is Antonio Tuta, who had a short spell here at Harps last year, and Daniel Okwote is also on the bench, Keith, for Kerry FC, and he's a player that you played with during your time here at Finn Park.
Yeah, you know, Daniel came with a lot of promise, came on loan from Stockport County. Didn't really work out for him. Struggled to find a bit of form and a bit of confidence. Look, he's obviously a young guy as well, and maybe, you know, being a bit of a distance from home didn't really help him. Look, he's back here now. He's on the visiting side with Kerry. I think he scored one of the goals down there as well in the previous fixture, the 2-0 Kerry home win. So there could be we could see him coming on maybe in the second half, but it's all going well so far.
Okay, that's a chance to go back to the studio then. We've played 12 and a half, almost 13 minutes here at Finn Park in Balbuffet, where it remains Harps 0, Kerry FC 0.
Okay, many thanks to Jeremy Doherty and indeed to Keith Cowan, and we'll be back to them around about 8:15 for another update there on how Harps are getting on against Kerry. Just finally, New Mills 10K is taking place this coming Sunday, the 7th of July. There's more details available from the Letterkenny Athletic Club Facebook page. The start time is 10:30, entry fee is €10. On the day it's €12, and there's lots of category prizes there. So just nip over to Letterkenny AC's Facebook page for more details of the New Mills 10K, an event, of course, which quite a few athletes are using as they prepare for the Donegal Half Marathon, which is coming up next month. But that is it from the Score for tonight. If you missed any of the show, you will be able to recap in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Chris Ashmore's back tomorrow morning with our next bulletin after the 8:30 news. So until then, from me, Oisin Kelly, have a very good evening.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the Donegal GAA Western range at michaelmurphysports.ie.